What a sweet thing.
That was very sweet.
So now that I have Beverly here, the person with the most abstinence, I just want to say, you know, this is not a convention. This is a birthday party. And I wanted, particularly in year 55, to convey to you what it was like when OA started. We have a room upstairs, the OA History Room, and we have Beverly here. And Beverly has been around celebrating...
For 100 years.
No.
A day at a time.
But she has been celebrating birthday parties for...
A lot of years.
51 years. So she joined in at the OA's fourth birthday and has been with us since. She has with us her original copy of the big book. And she's going to share her experience, strength, and hope at this time.
Thank you.
In my next life, I'm going to look like her. Hi, everybody. Thank you. Appreciate it very much. My name is Beverly. I'm committed to food sobriety, wellness, and sanity, and I'm grateful to be here. As Pam mentioned, I came to OA 51 years ago. I lived here in Los Angeles. This is where I came to the program. This is what and where I was reborn. And even though I'm from Chicago originally, I always feel this is my home. This is the place I was reborn in the 12-step program of Overeaters Anonymous. I'm very verklempt here. I'm really emotional, and my sponsor said, okay, you're going to be, when this happens, you take a moment and you pause, and you ask God to take a step before us and for all of us to come inside with me, be with me. And help me now to find the words. I am very happy to be here, as I said, and I am a part of OA's history, as you are, as we all are. And there's a room that the intergroup or the committee has dedicated to our founder, and there's a in memory of her. There's a wonderful video that you can see if you've never seen her. And I was one of those that brought OA to Arizona when I moved there in 1970. It wasn't until 71 that we got a meeting going, but there was no OA at the time. And because I was asked to be the opening speaker, I wanted to reacquaint myself with history and with Roseanne's story, even though I knew her. And, you know, people in OA, one of the last meetings I was at said to me, you knew Roseanne. You know, and you started the meeting here. I said, hold it. You know, it's me. It's just, you know, me, Beverly, a day at a time by the grace of God. And, my story is a checkered one in OA, 8.5 years of struggle, relapse, you know, came for the diet, stayed for the wellness, left for 5 years, came back, and did perfection for 12 and a half years. Really. But I wanted to talk more about the birthday party before I get into my own little bit of recovery. When I came to OA, it was 1962 is when my cousin handed me the gray sheet. You should pardon the expression. But it took me till 1963 to come to a meeting. And I came to my first meeting. I lived in Palos Verdes. And I went to a meeting in Rancho Park, the one that Roseanne talks about. Roseanne was at my first meeting, so there was another gal named Roz B., who was there, who later became a sponsor of mine. And I went to about 4 meetings that year. There was no freeway, you know, from Palos Verdes to, you know, there was no 405. Hello. And many of you were not even a twinkle in your father's eye. I was reminded of that when I spoke at a meeting in Palm Springs. Anyways, so it was in 1963 that I came to the program. I went to that first meeting. I was in a big coat. I sat in the back of the room. It was in a school room. And it was the first time in my life I saw women just like me, middle-aged. I was 32 years old. I know, I'm pretty good looking for 83. Yeah. Thank you. I get a lot of mileage out of that. And so you'll forgive me. But it was the first time that I was in a room with people. These were my soulmates. I knew I was home. I cried to the whole thing. I could not speak. I went home, and it was the first time in my life that I did not binge when I got home or didn't eat anything. It was the first time without a pill. I was hooked on amphetamines, laxatives, and diuretics from the time I was 14. I'm really, an addict, addictive, compulsive, obsessive personality. And I never admitted that I was an addict. I was addicted to amphetamines, but I couldn't live without them. And when they stopped working, I would just get fat. And I'm a fat kid. I was fat from the time I'm 1 year old. I was 235 when I was 22 years old and was a professional dieter in my adult years. I mean, I lived in Chicago. You had to look good. It was big city. And a woman was either a nurse, a secretary, or a teacher. And your goal was not a career. Your goal was to get married. That's where, you know, I'm from the dark ages, you guys. And I thank God that I had a daughter who brought me into the light in the 80s with the women's movement and brought us to therapy and tears and everything else. You know, this program takes you on trips you never dreamt you could go on. You didn't bargain for them. But once you got a foot in the door and once you know you're home, when there's something inside you that says, this is me, I can't deny it, you go with it. And for me, I knew this was home. This was all these women. I wasn't alone anymore. I wasn't a nutcase. And I have a friend in Phoenix who is here at this program who reminded me of what it's like when you come in the program, and she talks about being an oozing mess. And that's what I was. I was an oozing mess on the inside. Outwardly, I functioned. Outwardly, I was tightly girdled. I wore those rubber girdles in the 60s. And I never came in contact with my real body. And then I moved to Arizona where you couldn't live in a rubber girdle. Hello. Actually, it was the San Fernando Valley that cured me. We moved from Palos Verdes to the San Fernando Valley. That prepared me for the Arizona desert. But anyways, where was I? So I knew I was home. This was it. So that first year, it was magic. Because I didn't have to rely on doctors, pills, and shots. I turned my life and my will over to, there was something greater than myself. I knew that. And then at the first crisis in my life, and of course, you know, when you're 6 months abstinent, you say, I got this thing, man. I know this. I'm good. I don't need those people anymore, and I'm on my way. So it wasn't quite like that for me. For me, after a year, we had this big crisis in our life, and I had to go back to work. And, I was married with 2 babies. And my husband was, we were what they call a symbiotic relationship. I had been engaged 3 times before I got married. I didn't get married until I was 27, and that was in 1958. That was very old. hello. So we had this symbiotic relationship where we were two neuroses feeding off another. And I turned my will and my life over to my husband. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what I thought. That's what marriage was about. Two shall be as one, and you walk in the sunlight, and you never look back. So things started exploding, and I damned OA. I said, those people, it's their fault that I'm getting fat. They taught me I was addicted. If they hadn't told me, then I wouldn't be fat. And I kept stuffing, going back on diets, going back to doctors, and knowing all the time in my heart of hearts, who are you, Bevzu? And one day, in 1968, we moved to the San Fernando Valley. And at that point, Gray Sheet was big. I mean, big. And OA was starting everywhere. And I had this cousin who had originally taken me to OA. And she said, you got to do this now. And I said, no, I don't. I'm not going back to those people. And then I started crying, and I said, those people have the answer. And we do. Sometimes we convolute it, and sometimes we don't want to look at it, and sometimes it's a little too difficult. Please, I'm too little. I can't do this. But there is the answer. The answer is in this sweet thing. And here's my book from my original big book, 1963. It's the second edition, was printed in 55. This is the seventh edition, seventh printing. And it's very special to me. I never led a retreat without taking this with me until the last few years. And I, you know, now there's the third and the fourth, and and it's too heavy and fat. What do I need it? Yeah. But for this, I really wanted to bring it and to remember what it's all about. So anyway, I came to the Valley in 1968. And can I mention names? Is the OA police here? Anyways, they're here. I know. All right, I won't do it. We think they're here. Okay, anyways. So my cousin said, you got to go to this woman. She is the, what did Roseanne call her? The queen of Gray Sheet. She called her that in, Irene had bequeathed the Gray Sheet to this woman, who I had to have as a sponsor. I'd never seen her, didn't know what she, but I had to have her. Does that sound familiar? So, you know, if one is good, two is better. And if somebody is the best, I got to do it. I got to do it right, you know. You just can't do it. You got to do it right. So that whole perfectionist thing, I was a compulsive secretary. I was a compulsive mother. I compulsive wife. I polished and brushed my children. I had them ready at the door, just like Father knows best. And didn't you? What? I wore high heels and did the vacuuming until I killed myself, you know, all of this anger and injustice and whatever inside. And it just blew up. You just blow up and then go on diet pills and you can forget about the whole thing. Anyway, the point I was trying to make was I came to the Van Nuys Group in 1968, and in May of 1969, I was the delegate to the OA conference. Every group in those days could send a delegate, not just the intergroup. It wasn't the intergroup that was entitled. Every group could send one delegate, and I was the delegate from the Van Nuys meeting. Was it the Van Nuys meeting? One of the meetings in the Valley. When I got to the valley, I embraced this thing 100%. Perfectionist Bevy. You know, today I was at an event last week and this woman was in front of me and we were kibitzing and she said, forgive me, I just spilled that. She said, I'm a recovering perfectionist. And I thought, whoa, isn't that who we really are? You know, so the story of my relapse and recovery and relapse and perfection and gray sheet and do it right and has not just right. You had to be back to back perfect. It had to be weighed and measured. And so in 1969, I was a delegate to that conference that was, the seventh conference of OA. And I remember the fights about the carbohydrate. You know, Roseanne talks about it in her video that's on display here, but the carbohydrate people against the moderate mealers. And you know, there were those moderate mealers and the carbohydrate addicted people, and they said, someone would say, we don't know from moderate. Moderate might be a side of beef to our way of thing. How could you possibly have moderate in the literature? Anyways, I cried through that whole conference. I knew I was part of something greater than myself. And it hooked me. It hooked me with everything. I did whatever they told me. And I just, and then I would slip and slide. I'd have 3 months of perfect back-to-back abstinence and then maybe take a dill pickle between meals and then I'd start eating. Because one bite and you were doomed. You could not come back. This disease will kill you. You may not have another recovery, they said. You may not. That's true if you don't work the 12 steps. They didn't tell me that. You may not have another recovery, yes. We are like men and women who have lost our legs, yes, until we embrace this program, this book, this life of rigorous honesty, this life that says, well, I'm not going to preach, I'm preaching. I don't want to do that. It's okay. You are my people. I knew my people were here. Oh, my God. Anyways, I knew I was part of something greater than myself. It hooked me. It took me 8.5 years to surrender. And the surrender did not come here in California. We moved. By this time, I have 2 children, a husband. We moved to Phoenix, Arizona. Now, kids, this is 1970. We moved to Arizona. I went to 69. I was a delegate at 69 and 70, 2 years in a row. We moved to Arizona, the desert. I think I'm in hell. It's 112 degrees. What has my husband done? He's got a pickup truck. I am this fancy lady from Chicago. You're putting me in a pickup truck? Hello? Nuh-huh. I thought it was the end of the world. And cry on the phone. And there was no OA. What's wrong with these people? 71, there was an earthquake. In January, Los Angeles, we were living in Tarzana when we moved, and our house wasn't sold when we moved because we had this business. Whatever, doesn't matter. But that earthquake brought another OA gal to Phoenix, and she was a Van Nuys person, and so we tried to start meetings. But nobody was attracted to us. Very much. Just because we happen to be fighting all the time? What? Very much. You know, I recently reread Roseanne's book, because of the founding of OA, because I wanted to be prepared, and because we do always want to make a tribute and remember from our beginnings, and this really is the place where where recovery happens. And in my opinion, these are my opinions only, there is no recovery in the United States like Los Angeles. You can go anywhere. I have a friend who just moved here from New York who mentioned to me that it's different here. And I was saying that to someone, and I said, the recovery here is a different quality. Well, why is that so? They said, in my opinion, because of the tradition. There was magic in these rooms. There was magic that happened here. Somebody who's 39 years, you might remember the Crescent Heights meetings. I mean, and the meetings at the Lions Club and the beach meetings. I mean, there's a tradition. And what's so marvelous when I come here and I stay with my friend and she takes me to the kitchen sink and we went to Serenity Sunday and, you know, the tradition of the recovery, the heart, the breath that went into it is here. And even though our meetings in Phoenix are strong, baby. Hello? I mean, you can get a lot of recovery. We really have strong recovery, as there is in New York and there is in Chicago and other places. Maybe it's because this is where I was born that, you know, I was born again, that it speaks to me so loudly. And to be here in the rooms is very special. Yes. And I was a speaker at one of the birthday parties. You know, we used to have the convention. There was an OA convention was after the conference. That's the way these events started. And then when the convention moved is when the birthday parties became a firm thing. And we always planned the LA Intergroup planned the birthday party in line with the Board of Trustees meetings. The Board of Trustees used to meet quarterly in LA. And so we made it, they always, you know, coordinated so that the birthday party was, so they could get speakers from the Board of Trustees. I mean, it was not rocket science. And there were huge amounts of talent and industry people in the old days. I think there might still be. And the tradition of the shows was, I mean, you came here and you were chomping at the bit. And the energy level was so high that if you got up to say the, everybody applauded. And that's kind of magical here. I mean, I feel that wonderful, positive energy. I will say I also feel the pain. And I am in a place now where I talk about food sobriety. I no longer talk about perfect abstinence back to back. I don't count the days. When I came to my final surrender in 1971, October 25th, and I was on the phone with that queen of gray sheet who lives in Van Nuys, and I called her my sponsor, and I screamed because, once again, I had binged. Once again, I couldn't get this program. Once again, we had already got a meeting going, got two meetings going in Phoenix. That was my excuse before. But I couldn't, it would elude me. The surrender. Surrender. It had happened in 1971. It was Halloween time. I remember because it was the first Halloween I didn't eat trick-or-treat candy of my children when they came home. Of course, my husband and I started freezing the miniature chocolate bars in August so that we'd be ready for Halloween. in October. You didn't do that? Wait a minute. Anyways, my final surrender of food, the food obsession, was lifted from me. Do you hear me? The food obsession was lifted in 1971, and I got on the phone. What happened was I was desperate, and I was so angry. I mean, how did I end up in this godforsaken place? Why am I not in California where I belong? And I called my sponsor, and I screamed at her, "What's wrong with me?" And I'm crying, and I don't know what else I said, but she said to me, "Beverly, there's beauty in desperation." What? Beauty in desperation? My guts are spattered on the floor, and you're telling me there's beauty in desperation? And she said, "Yes, because now you are open. Now you're ready." You know, in the old days, we used to talk about step six. You know, are you ready? You have to be ready first, or you have to be willing? Do you have to be willing to be ready? Are you ready to be willing? Are you willing to be? And you do those intellectual dances, and so you never do anything. And she said to me, "Because now you're ready. You're open." "Oh, okay," I said. "What do I have to do?" She said, "Are you willing to call yourself a committed abstainer?" "Yes, I could do that." And something else said to me, "And you no longer have to count days. Just for today, I'm a committed abstainer." And I put one foot in front of the other. And you know, the Old Testament says, ours is not to complete the task. Ours is to do the work. Start and continue. Just start and continue. If you make a mistake, you start and you continue. You continue. So that was... something happened to me at that time, and the obsession was lifted from me. And I call it my final surrender of the food. I've had many final surrenders of other things that, you know, I was addicted to amphetamines, laxatives, diuretics, cigarettes. I had chronic backaches, chronic, what else? I don't know. My story is someplace. But a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. And I, you know, my idea was, even though I was Pollyanna positive, it was, give me, get me, buy me, bring me. And when I talk about being an oozing mess, I was not an oozing mess on the outside. I didn't weigh 650 pounds. I was only 235. But on the inside, I was dying. Didn't know it. Wouldn't admit it. Of course, how could I admit it? I was the perfect everything to everyone. I was all things to all people. And it's delusion. There's a lot of delusion in much of our grounded thinking. I wanted to talk about surrender, the thing that I understand about surrender from today. That first step, powerless over food, my life has become unmanageable. My life has become unmanageable. Hey, I was a very efficient, grooving kind of person. I mean, it didn't matter what I looked like on the... I mean, I was nice looking. I always made a good appearance. I was a fashionista, always. But inside, my life was unmanageable. I couldn't possibly... You must be mistaken. I was the authority on everything. I have this theory that the more you accept the unmanageability of your I'm going to say it. I'll preach. What the hell? The more... Go for it. So the more we accept the unmanageability of our lives, of our inner lives, the more complete our surrender will be, the more recovery we are open for. Until we understand inside, this is the area that needs the perfection. This is the area that needs the work. The work that's outlined in those 12 steps. And I have 5 minutes left. So, the things I learned. So, I spent 8.5 years relapse. 12.5 years perfect. Yeah. Gray sheet abstinence. Traveled all over the world. 12.5 years. Gray sheet abstinent, weighed and measured. Although I did restaurant portions, I did not weigh and measure in restaurants. I went all over the world. I did that. And then the last 31.5 years, April's going to be 32 years that I'm in OA, that I've been, I claim food sobriety. I don't talk about strict abstinence. The binge is not possible. That's out of my life. That's gone. It was lifted from me. Somebody asked today about, well, how do you define a binge? You know, who cares? You know. For me, it was an 8-hour eating, you know, eating frenzy. I mean it. At the Sands Hotel in the old days. Anyways, so I don't talk about any kind of strict anything. I like to think about recovering perfectionist, making one mistake a day, just for fun. See what happens. But I did learn from those 12.5 years, commitment, discipline, and accountability. And if you're new in this program and you're obese and you can't walk and you can't talk, you got to do something to put the plug in the jug. You have to. There has to be a detox, and only you and me, only we know where we're at. And if you need to detox, God damn it, do it. Whatever it takes. And I'm here to tell you that today my life works. It's like 85 pounds that I'm maintaining for a lot of years. Sometimes it was 90, and sometimes it's 80, but... what? I have learned how to fail forward, how to learn from every experience. I've had my share of tragedies, lost my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my husband 10 years ago, married 46 years. I have lung cancer, spinal stenosis, spondylolisthesis, osteopenia. Give me some more. I got it all, right? Oh, peripheral neuropathy from the chemotherapy 2 years ago. So that's been 3 years. It's 2.5 years since the lung cancer. I'm cancer-free day at a time. Day at a time by the grace of God, and my life works. And I was someone who never went in public in a bathing suit. My friend and I were at the Olympic Spa marching around with all the naked ladies. And, you know, in this program, one of the first things I did, I had a sponsor, friend of Roseanne's, who, we went walking on the Santa Monica Pier together in bathing suits, and nobody died. True. Anyways, I got a wrap-up sign, and I wanted to share with you something from the big book, something that's been a great privilege for me. It comes in working with others on page 89, and it says, life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others. So there's people from Oregon here that I've been blessed, and Texas and New York, and, you know, of course, my Arizona, my peeps are here. Okay, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up around you, I've seen that. It's big. To have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. Thank you.
Michelle. We hope you've enjoyed tonight's presentation. Thank you, Beverly. I would now like to introduce Aaron E., who has been in charge of our program, our entertainment. On your chair is a blue piece of paper acknowledging those wonderful people who are going to bring to us some fun in our recovery. Now's the play. I guess we take this.
Are we done?
And we're going to talk one more at the very end.